Hello, everybody. This is Clint Locklear with a rant of a free trapper on a hot, muggy, 90-degree day. And I've already drank 2 2-liter bottles of water, and it's not helping very much. Good grief. I know I live in the South, but it'd be nice if it didn't go from 50 to 80 to 90 in just about a week and stay that way. It's going to take me a while to get used to this, but it is, it's a good day to be talking to everybody. The rant of a free trapper is just, we talk about different things. Sometimes it is like a rant, if you've never been here before, where I just vent. And sometimes it's just things that I've been thinking about or things that I've noticed in the world that I thought would be fun to discuss. This is not going to be something normally on the rant when we talk with trapping, even though sometimes we do connect the two. So just so everybody knows what that is. And the sponsor of the rant of a free trapper is Funky Trap Tags and Supply. Alan is the owner of that. He's in Iowa. One of the best guys you'll ever meet. If you're at conventions, he's also a vendor on the Trapper Radio Fur Brigade, so you get percentage off of his stuff if you order from him at the show or even online, which you can find at Funky Trap Tags and Supplies or Hilltop Outdoors. He does a lot online. If you're used to dealing with Amazon and eBay and Walmart and all that stuff, he's your guy. And he's an honest guy. And that's the reason he's the sponsor of this show. So supports the sponsors that help support the show. I'm amazed because I catch myself doing this too. And I'm going to tell you a story that's true, by the way. And even though I know this story, it's one of these things that's really hard to apply in your real life. And that's judging people by the way that they look. Now, you may be thinking I'm going to be talking about race or they're transgendered or whatever it is. No. I'm just talking about the way that they look. You see someone that looks like Kardashians, do you think genius or kind of airhead? I mean, she makes money, but I mean, if you're going to have a conversation with her, is it going to be something that you're going to like really have to sit and think on the genius that's coming out of her mouth? Or if you ever heard Pamela Anderson, you know, trying to have a conversation. There are a lot of beautiful people that if they start talking, you just try to run away from them, no matter how pretty they are. Or let's say you meet somebody in overalls, missing a few teeth, hairs looks like someone cut it with a bowl, they have a slur, a drawl in their voice, or something like that, and you automatically jump to a conclusion. You know, it's the opposite is the same. Like, to me, it tickles me to death when business owners have to dress like business owners. Well, to me, that's ridiculous. If you're a business owner, you don't have to dress like a business owner because you are a business owner or a professional. And then, but a lot of people that are trying to be professionals think that everybody that is a professional has to dress a certain way. And you're judging people off of what they wear, how they talk, how they look, everything like that. And we all do it. I mean, if you were to meet, and I may have this wrong because I'm not really up to date on my rap history, but if I think the guy is Dr. Dre, I think that's the one that I'm referring to, and if it's not, I'm sorry, but you'll still get the point. When I was in, it was either 8th grade or freshman year, WNA, let's see. Yeah, WNA came out, and that was, the Compton F the Police and all that type stuff. They were in the news all the time, had their baggy pants and carrying guns and didn't talk very good English and all of that. And pretty much half of them seemed like they either died or ended up in a gunshot. The rest of them became pretty successful. But then you have Dr. Dre. I'm pretty sure it's Dr. Dre, but I could be wrong. Dr. Dre, if you'd have met him back then, he had a brilliant mind. And he's consequently, because of that mind, even though he looked like a gangbanger, if you'd have made that decision, you would have really shortchanged what could have happened with that young man. He's the first billion, that's with a B, billionaire rapper. Somehow him and his manager has got into iTunes. They make, I believe it's Beats, earphones that you listen to music with. It's probably not the right term showing my age there. But whatever you call these now today, they're not earbuds because they're kind of big and they're bulb. Anyway, he's a billion-dollar rapper. But if you'd have met him as a gangbanger, and he never really was a gangbanger, but he looked kind of like one because everybody hung with looked kind of like one. Think about making a judgment call on someone that built a billion-dollar industry. Off quality, by the way. Produce records from people that we've all listened to growing up. I mean, he's the man when it comes to putting music together. Brilliant. We make these judgments either because someone looks like they're successful or they look like they're not successful. They look like they're smart or they look like they're as dumb as a bag of rocks. And because we automatically think this way, we have a mental cap on how you perceive that person or what they say from that point on. Now, I will admit, I've used this. I've used my Southern drawl and my, you know, big Southern Appalachian redneck body of mine when I've met people about different business stuff. And I've used that to my advantage because they could see that there was a way to make money from me, but they didn't think that I was smart enough to understand what they were doing. And that usually turned around after about 30 or 40 minutes because I let them step all in it, even though I still talk slow. Now we got down to business and they realized that I'm probably not just the dumb redneck that they thought I was. So all this can be used from many different angles as far as how we perceive people in life. We all do it. But the shame of this, guys, is when you judge people by the way that they look or the way that they dress or the way that they talk, you may be missing out on having one of the best conversations, learning experiences, business opportunity, friendship, whatever, because of your preconceived ideas. Like I said, I fall in this trap myself. Me and Cindy were at a brand new restaurant in Chattanooga. Well, it was brand new to us. It's been around a long time. And this was like the millennial hipster hangout, apparently. And I mean, guys were wearing like pointed leather shoes that were silver glittered up and tight pants that, I mean, me and Cindy were talking and looking around and, you know, my automatic judgment of that was not impressed at all. The men look like girls, they walk like girls, they act like girls. I mean, it was just not my scene whatsoever. And to have a conversation was, I was nice to everybody. I mean, I already had that judgment in my hand that these are spoiled, little rich, white hipsters that I just don't want to spend time with. Which is a shame because probably somewhere in there, I could have met a really interesting person, had a really interesting conversation, and may have learned something that I've never once in my life thought about. So these preconceived ideas, it shortchanges the person that has them. Now I want to tell you a story, because this is a true story. Back when Germany started going around and putting little red stars on Jews and telling them they couldn't go out except certain hours, they started rounding them up and they started passing laws that if you helped them that you were going to be convicted and screwed with and all that type stuff. In Austria, there was a young girl by the name of Hedy Lamarr. Or it could be, it's not Heidi, but it looks like that to me, but it's Hedy Lamarr. And apparently she was a pretty little girl, and her parents fled Austria to get away from the Germans. She ended up in London, and they ended up in America. They came the legal route, but she was not given citizenship. She was pretty much considered, you know, like a refugee at the time. Now, Heidi, I think it's Hedy Lamarr. Even though Heidi sounds more German or Austrian, but I think it's Hedy Lamarr. You can look her up. She's an actress. That's what she's known for. But apparently, the beauty this woman had, and when I see pictures of her, and I watched a documentary on this, it's called The Masters. I think it's a PBS thing where they pick out just interesting people, and you learn things that, you know, is just not common knowledge. They picked her. I've never heard of her. I didn't know any of the movies she was in. I didn't know anything about it, but me and my wife both got sucked into this story. But everybody that knew her said when she walked in a room from the age of about 12 or 13, everything stopped. She was so beautiful that when she came in the room, everybody stopped, watched, came up, talked to her, and everything. As she got older, she went to Hollywood because everybody was telling her she should. And she got some roles. Now, because she was so beautiful, she didn't really speak a lot of English. She found a producer that made a movie that, when edited, was a lot sexier. The way they did the close-ups and stuff was a lot sexier and a lot more risque than people really were willing to accept pre-World War II. So everybody saw this beautiful girl that was in this risque movie. I mean, it wasn't like nudity or screwed. It wasn't pornos or anything like that. It's just, you know, very risque. Well, today it'd be like G, but during that time it was not. But she was so beautiful, and that's all anybody ever thought about her. That was it. And apparently she was a decent actor. She learned English, and she got different roles. But what most people, even people that worked with her, did not know how smart this beautiful girl was from Austria, and nobody cared how smart she was. So she moves to Hollywood. She gets kind of a bad reputation because she did a movie that was risque. Now, what made her different from most people, or at least what most people thought she was, because, you know, beautiful girls are just ditzy, and, you know, you just buy them drinks, you try to have sex with them, and, you know, they're trophy wives and all that type stuff. She was an inventor. And she looked at everything through the eyes of design. Now, she was not into permaculture, even though I'm using that word. At least not that I know of. But she was a designer. She would see things in the world, and she would go, well, that didn't make a whole lot of sense. There's a better way to do this. So let me figure out how to do this. In her basement, she had like a laboratory, and it's where she went to invent things. But she's just a beautiful ditzy girl, remember. Now, we went into World War II, and if you don't know a lot about World War II history, the U-boats of the Germans with torpedoes was absolutely controlling the war. I know if you don't really know a lot about history, you think that we just came in there like Superman and just started kicking butt everywhere. There was a good chance we could have lost that war, believe it or not, and the U-boats were a big part of that. We couldn't get supplies around. We couldn't get troops around. You know, we didn't have the big jets and everything that we have today. And these U-boats were absolutely wiping out everything. And they were faster, and they could read our frequencies of the torpedoes. And when we shot torpedoes at them, they would just kind of move out of the way. And then they would fire on another ship, and they would sink it. And they killed tens of thousands of civilians and tens of thousands of military, and sunk millions and millions in that day's dollars value to the bottom of the sea. And it was like such an unfair advantage that they had. And the U.S. military, all of the scientists, all of the experts, all of the, you know, the intellectual verbal throw up that they know what they're talking about, people, they could not figure this out. Now, in California, there sat this little bitty Australian woman that everybody thought was beautiful. And when she came to America, she really loved America. She loved the opportunity that you can go out and do whatever you want to do. So what did she do in her basement? She invented and came up with a technology called frequency hopping. And she had a husband that knew how to take old pianos that played off like you see the old westerns where they have the rolls and the little slots in there, and it would actually play the piano. He knew how to tune a bunch of those together. So with her idea of frequency hopping and him, they actually figured out from the basement of California, where no one ever thought she had the IQ of a cucumber, to defeat the German U-boats because she wanted to help in the war. So she went and she showed it to the military, and the government gave her a patent on this frequency hopping. And it went back to the experts that couldn't figure anything out to do with the Germans beforehand. Now this is where you lose out in life because you prejudge people. There sat an actress that had a risque movie that apparently, because she was still young at this time, was beyond beautiful that most people has ever seen. No one took her idea serious because of what she looked like. Now this is what happened. This shows you the stupidity of prejudging people by their looks. All the generals and the experts said, "Sweetie, this is really cute and all, but what do you want us to do? Like put pianos on our torpedoes? If you really want to help in the war effort, what you need to do is go sell bonds so we can raise money." Now her patent has already been approved. The military had it. And she went out because if apparently her invention was not going to be good enough, she could help raise money for the military. And in today's money value, she raised $242 million in bonds because of her looks and because some people knew who she was from acting. Now, the interesting thing about this is that she got a letter from the military and said that they are taking her patent because she was an alien. Now, she was hoping, as in everybody that gives information like this to the military or the government, and it's kind of common knowledge, if you have a patent idea that the military is going to use, that they're going to compensate you somehow. You know, you're probably not going to be a multi-gazillionaire, but you're going to, you know, probably make, you know, they'll probably give you a bone or something for using that. That's not what the military did. Because what was she going to do? She's just a ditzy woman that just had a idea of brilliance, apparently. So the U.S. government, the American government, during World War II, stole her patent, and it says on the document, because she was an alien, she didn't have the legal right to her invention. She was devastated. Absolutely devastated. After she raised $242 million for the United States government selling bonds and kissing, you know, servicemen and people on the street and, you know, doing all that stuff that they do, they stole it from her. Lo and behold, as she got older, she had some bad run-ins with movies. Now again, think about the time. This is about right after World War II. Women had their place. Not going to get into that subject, but women had their place. And she thought she could do as good as a man at producing a movie. And that was unheard of at the time. So she went out and she raised money and produced two movies. I don't know their quality. I really don't. She was the first woman to produce a movie, and she was the first woman actress to produce the movie that was in the movie. the men that ran Hollywood were so freaked out by this that they refused to give it any distribution in any theaters, which basically meant it bankrupted her. And she came up with other small inventions and stuff like that, and she just kept plugging along, and eventually she got a good role, and it ended up working out somewhat okay there towards the end, but she pretty much died broke. Because no one really took her serious about any of the inventions. She was one of the first people to realize that those little armbands you put on kids is wrong. So what did she do? She invented, basically, what we consider a kayak vest today, or a canoe vest that you strap in so your center of balance when you're trying to teach kids to swim is more natural than their arms just floating up above their head. Smart girl. Very smart girl. Now, I want to go back to an invention that a risque, beautiful, everybody thought was a ditzy actress did. She raised all that money. As she got older, she checked on that patent. And this is what her and her sons found out. The Miller series said they had no idea where her patent was. As they started investigating, they found out in 1955 that her frequency hopping was the first time in history where a buoy, a boat, and a plane, and a radio could talk without anybody picking up the transmissions. Because what frequency hopping is, if you're like on a frequency of 900, after a few seconds it would jump to 300, then 600, then 800, then back to 900. And the technology at the time, it didn't work. Because when you actually locked in on that frequency and you thought you had something, it was already on another frequency. You know, it's kind of like I've known some outlaws in my time that may run some stuff at night where they weren't supposed to. And they had a plan based off of this woman, based off of frequency hopping, that if you're talking on the marine radio, doing something you're not supposed to do, every 15 or 20 seconds, they already have a preconceived or predetermined frequency that they would jump to. So if they're on one station, like even on a CB, like say 16, they know after 1 minute of talking, everybody in that group switches over to 19. Then after a minute, they all switch over to 3. And then they all switch over to 4. They had it memorized. Now, if you were law enforcement and you're trying to track this conversation, you're screwed. This is what this lady did back in the 1940s that the government used in 1950 to be able to have buoys that could be out in the water and say a boat that's not supposed to be here, which is probably going to be enemy, just passed. It would transfer to an airplane, it would transfer to the boat, and then they could go and see what was going on. 1955. From a ditzy girl. Now, her frequency hopping was also used on all the ships with all the soldiers during the Cuban Missile Crisis. It was used on the moon landing. So only NASA could talk to the spaceship. It's used today on Air Force One. It is the basis of how a Bluetooth works. So if you're listening to Bluetooth in your ear, or you have a speaker where you hear your music, you need to thank that beautiful ditzy actress from 1940. And it's also a lot to do with the basis of how the internet works. The estimated value to the world from her invention, the Army said they don't know what happened with it, and they will not admit that they used it, and never paid her a dime for it, it's estimated for $30 billion, that's with a B, in today's money. Everybody saw this woman's face. They didn't see the person. She never gave up. She even went as far as she got older and she was so used to being beautiful, she went in to do plastic surgery. When they explained to her, the doctors, what they were going to do. She changed the way plastic surgery is done today as far as scarring. Well, why are you going to put the scar there? Can't you put it behind my ear, behind my knee, in the crease of my elbow? She changed plastic surgery so it's not so bad. Now, why am I going to tell you about Hedy Lamarr? Because you never know who you're talking to, ever. No matter how redneckish or hoodish or urban or country or sophisticated or professory or anything, you don't know who you're talking to. But you may be talking to an absolute genius, even though they don't look like your picture of a genius in your head. And what a shame it would be to not be able to talk and have a conversation, a relationship with somebody like that. So the next time you're talking with somebody and you automatically dismiss them for whatever reason of the way they look or the way that you just think that they are, think about Hedy Lamarr. Without her, Air Force One could be picked up today with anybody in the world, but it can't. Drones today? Yeah, that works off of Hedy Lamarr's frequency hopping. You just never know who you're talking about. Because the little black kids you're talking about could be the next billionaire. And there's probably something you can learn from someone that thinks that way. Just my thoughts anyway. That story blew me away. She died broke and poor. But she gave us everything. The technology that we use today, and the technology we're probably still going to be using in the future. And all everybody saw was how beautiful her face was.